It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We've been talking about the offense carrying the Braves. Once everybody gets healthy, and we're talking about Acuna back in the lineup, this thing is going to be rolling. And I felt good yesterday about seeing Ozzie go deep and Riley as well. I want to start there, Grant McCauley, who joins us here on the show, covers the Braves for us in Major League Baseball for 92.9 The Game. Grant, when they went deep, I was like, Ozzie, thank you. Riley, it felt good because we know the struggles he went through last year and his attempt to get back. And then with his hitting coach, that was a positive. I mean, there are a lot of things that we can look at in this game yesterday as we get ready for tonight's matchup. But how did you feel about seeing those guys go yard?
You know, it felt like there should have been more, but not in the same kind of frustrating way that it was a year ago. But the Padres made a couple of really nice plays. In particular, Ozzie Albies nearly had a second home run. That got dragged in, and that short porch or that short wall out in left field. And then Drake Baldwin nearly left the yard in center, and a great play by Jackson Merrill dragged in at least an extra base hit, if not a homer. So you kind of felt like the way they were working at bats and the way they were swinging, this offense looked a lot more like what we expect to see. But ultimately, you needed more than the four runs. The Padres did some good run prevention. The Braves ran into some trouble in that regard, and I'm sure we'll talk about that. But overall, you know, right. You just want to see this group start to get comfortable, get its legs under it, so to speak, and then you anticipate, and it's still a ways away, getting Ronald Acuna Jr. back in and seeing what this offense can truly be this year if they can get everybody together on the same page at the same time for more than the six innings they had together a year ago.
Yeah, Grant, we'll get to the bullpen in a second. One of the things we've been talking about a lot today is I looked it up, and the Padres were 14th in stolen bases last year with Schilt, so not like they're like one of the best. They're about average, but they really got after it. How concerned should Braves fans feel that teams are really going to challenge Drake Baldwin?
It's not even as much for me on Drake Baldwin in a lot of cases. It's going to be how well did the pitchers do a good job of mixing things up and holding runners on. And yes, there are limitations on how many throws over you can make. But when I look at the stolen bases, particularly the double steals and the things that they did to really just press their luck, a lot of it just had to do with that kind of jump. I don't care what kind of cannon you've got behind the plate. You're not throwing those guys out. So that is as much a part of it to me yesterday as it, anything was. I need to see a little bit more from Drake Baldwin. I think he's a pretty good catch-and-throw guy, so we'll kind of see as things go along if he's able to, you know, mitigate the running game somewhat. We know Sean Murphy is certainly known for that, so we'll see what factor he is on it. But, yeah, I think that some teams can identify pitchers that don't love throwing over. I think Chris Sale's kind of one of those guys. And then really push their luck if they need to make something happen. And that's not really what the Braves are known for, and maybe the Padres aren't really known for that, but there's something to be said for situational awareness and taking advantage of where you can, and I think the Padres did a really nice job of that.
Grant, I thought Chris was good yesterday. I'm talking about Chris Sale. Could he have gone longer? Did you feel like the pitch count was up there? I thought he was throwing the ball well yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think I would have necessarily looked to push another inning out of him, and I think where he lost that kind of opportunity, if you will, to do it was the 29-pitch first inning. I mean, he had to work hard early on. Then he got in a groove. I think where we get to, and I'm sure we'll get to the bullpen, but Dylan Lee comes in right after and has a very nice, clean inning, and then it started to kind of turn into, we're going to use this guy and this guy and this guy, and I don't think all of the roles outside of Raisel Iglesias have really been decided upon, but I can tell you this, they're going to have to figure that out quickly, one would hope, so that they're able to know exactly where they're going to go and really, you know, think ahead as much as you can, because you don't have the same options that you had a year ago that you really felt strongly about. So some of that might have been a factor in the overall decision-making, knowing that, hey, we can get six good innings out of this because we've got Chris Sale and we've got Dylan Lee, and then we'll piece it together from there. But, you know, they're going to have to go back to the drawing board on a seemingly nightly basis, which most clubs do, to figure out the best way to navigate over the course of a game, a series, a month, a season. It's all kind of out there to be figured out, and the Braves not quite there yet with the bullpen mix.
Charman Grant McCauley, guys, best baseball man in town here on the WadeFord.com hotline. All right. I literally asked you that question yesterday. I think I had our starter, Chris Sale, going to the sixth inning, but it was through the sixth, and it was Dylan Lee, you predicted, would probably be the guy. But then we didn't really mention Hector Neris, who we remember as a relief pitcher who had his struggles with Philadelphia. He's been in the show for a while. So just a bad day at the ballpark between him and Bummer?
Yeah, it was. And, I mean, with Aaron Bummer, I think you go with him because you were hoping with Luis Arraez, a contact hitter that hits the ball on the ground a lot, maybe you get a double play. And then, of course, you throw a wild pitch. The double play is not there anymore, and that doesn't work out. And a couple of sacrifice flies were really all it took to you just put the ball in play. And with the stolen bases, as you pointed out, the Padres were doing a lot of little things, and that added up to four runs in that frame. But for Hector Neris, I mean, I look at him as the seventh or eighth guy on the relief depth chart, if you will. I mean, Jose Suarez was late to the party. Certainly, you don't look at his numbers and think, all right, well, this is the guy we're going to go to for a lot of high-leverage outs or big situations. So I was a bit surprised that it was Hector Neris there and not maybe Deisbel Hernandez, or, I mean, I think Pierce Johnson's probably going to get a lot of eighth-inning work, or Dylan Lee could get some eighth-inning work if Pierce Johnson works earlier on, but you've got to figure it out with no Joe Jimenez and no A.J. Minter, and I think Deisbel Hernandez, Dylan Lee, Pierce Johnson, those are guys you should feel pretty comfortable with. The rest of it is going to be mixing and matching. Aaron Bummer certainly has a role in the bullpen, but yeah, I think you could really look at Deisbel Hernandez and point to a bad day at the ballpark. You give up a home run on not even an awful pitch, but you know, if it's cap tipping time or not, it's still a home run that tied the game. And then it was just constant contact and four batters, four men reach, and four men score. And that's about as bad as an inning can get for a Braves debut for Hector Neris.
Grant McCauley, what do you expect out of Ronaldo Lopez tonight?
Hopefully a little bit more of what we saw last year. I know in the spring, a lot of it's just focused on getting your work in, and there was a lot of talk about, well, his velocity's not quite there. But one thing Ronaldo showed us throughout the year last year was, hey, I can work at 93, 94, and then when I need it, I can reach back for that 96-plus and put somebody away. And I think he's going to continue to do that. He talked about it in the spring as being one of the things he realized about his arsenal that was the most helpful for him was, I know I've got it when I need it. I don't have to show it off every single pitch. You can do that in the bullpen, and as a young pitcher, you might be tempted to do that on, you know, the better part of just about every fastball you throw. But I think kind of cycling through those velocities can be good for him. Pound the strike zone, which is something he does extremely well, and just be aggressive. And this is a Padres team that is a good team, but I don't think they're necessarily a great team. And Ronaldo Lopez has the stuff to, I think, carve up any major league lineup.
What was up? We were talking a lot earlier about that the play at first when, for whatever reason, Matt Olson comes home. We kind of likened it to like that grenade toss from Marcus Mariota a couple of years ago. Was that just like a mental fart right there from him? He was not charged with an error.
No, I thought it was a heads-up play because you just took a shot to see, get the out at first, and then if you can get the guy coming home, you try it. And that was just a try that ultimately it's going to have to be perfect, and I don't think it was going to be in time to get him. But it's just doing what you can, where you can, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't play out. But in that particular play, I didn't think a lot of that other than just trying to get an out if possible, just in case the guy trips on his own feet on the way home, have the ball there waiting for him if nothing else.
All right, Grant, what else jumped out at you yesterday? Opening day for a lot of teams around Major League. We're waiting for the home opener for the Braves, obviously, next week. But, you know, there's so many storylines right now that to start the season. Is there one that you're watching outside of our team, obviously, as you
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Cover Major League Baseball.
No, I think there's obviously a lot to watch. I mean, it can be sensory overload in this first week or so.
and
clearly, we're going to keep an eye on the division. The Phillies winning their opening day. You know, that's obviously a big part of what we're going to be watching all season long is the Braves and the Phillies and the Mets. Those are three teams that, you know, you're not going to scoreboard watch in April, May, or June so much. But once it starts to kind of add up, you're always going to be keeping an eye on those clubs. And the Phillies, I think they look familiar. They look formidable. And we'll see what they're able to do over the course of their season. But, yeah, I am intrigued to see what the Mets do because clearly they spent a lot of money on Juan Soto. They brought Pete Alonso back. They've got Francisco Lindor. They've got a couple of young hitters that could also factor for them. But I feel like their lineup's kind of top-heavy. I think they've got serious pitching questions. And, you know, last year they dug themselves a hole. If they do it again this year, are they going to be able to pull out of that and get back into the postseason? Because nobody really expected them to be there last year, and they got there.
Right.
So clubs like that, usually I feel like, come into that next year a little bit of motivation to build on that, and we'll see if the Mets can.
Remember when you were a kid, you'd look at the newspaper, we're a game down to the Phillies, damn it. You know, it always it's an overreaction. One thing for certain, the Dodgers just kind of picked up where they left off. Shohei Ohtani goes yard, and then that was an electric atmosphere with a gold-trimmed uniform as world champs.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously that's a club that, you know, has no shortage of storylines and stars to watch. And as Ohtani goes through his year, you know, they're eyeing when he's going to return to the mound, and he's going to continue to play throughout that process. And you know, we can talk about this guy for the rest of time and really not be able to explain how he does what he does. But this whole process that he's gone through of a major elbow surgery, playing through that, putting up an offensive season the likes of which we've never seen before, and working his way back towards the mound, I mean, that's something I'm going to have my eye on over the course of the season as well to see when exactly Ohtani's going to be on the mound for the Dodgers for the very first time.
When are you on, Grant?
I will be on Sunday morning from 9 to 11, 2 hours of Braves and baseball talk. I've got C.J. Nikowski of the Braves TV team joining me. I've also got Scott Braun of Foul Territory. We're going to talk about everything going on for the Braves and the rest of Major League Baseball over the first weekend of the season and so much more. So join me right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 9 to 11 on Sunday. Wherever you get your podcast, you can subscribe and find it on the Odyssey app.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.